When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite Lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more.
Greetings, Spectres. Welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I am here, as usual, with my wonderful co-host, N7, the legend. Welcome back to the show. How's it going, N7?
I'm doing very well. We're discussing a topic that has been a long time coming. When I say long time, I mean, we've been calling everyone Spectres for 40 weeks now, right?
Yeah, or Shepherds. I've been been using that too, but I mean, they're kind of synonymous. Let's be honest there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like rectangles and squares. Not every specter is a shepherd.
Yeah. Not every specter is a shepherd. Most shepherds are specters.
Yeah, I think so. Unless you really fucked up.
Yes. Yeah. Or you're playing some other game. I mean, there are some other people named Shepherd out there, but
we'll just
go with it. But yeah. Yeah. So this is the episode that you may have been waiting for when you're like, are they ever going to cover specters on the Mass Effect Lorecast? Isn't that like a key ingredient to the lore? Well, you're in luck, friends. We are covering it. It's 40 episodes in and we're finally getting to specters. That's how much other important stuff there is to talk about, by the way. Did you happen to realize that the galaxy is a big, deep, important place full of a long, long history and lots of other races and stuff? Well, it is, if you haven't realized that yet. I don't know how you didn't realize that, but welcome to the show. There's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we're damn near year in, and we still have so much to go. We have I don't even know if we're going to be finished with like original trilogy stuff by the time the next Mass Effect game comes out.
Dude, it's kind of good though, because it's going to be a while. We're going to have things to talk about until the next game comes out. But I have a feeling as we get closer to the next game, we're going to get more leaks and more trailers. We might actually have to take a break from some of these episodes where we're going back and talking about the lore to have some actual episodes where we're doing things like, you know, breaking down the new trailer and stuff like that. But we're not there yet. We've got a long path until those episodes come out. So for right now, we're still talking about the things that we know from the previous games and from the books, and eventually from the TV series. Man, this show is going to go on forever. But why don't we go ahead and dig into it? We're talking about Spectres today. Where do we start?
So I guess we should start with the fact that Spectre is, of course, not really an acronym, but like a pseudonym, because Spectres actually stands for Specific Tasty Cakes and Raisinettes.
I didn't see this coming. Usually I'm the one that takes the train off the tracks, but we're going to Tastyville. We're going to
right,
Flavortown.
We're going straight to Candyland.
We're going. yes. Mm.
I was hungry when I was producing the notes for this show, in case you couldn't tell. No. It's also synonymous with spectacular tires and really cool shoes.
Uh-huh. Both things are for keeping you or your vehicle safe while on the ground. I can see the similarities there.
Yeah. I also wrote a couple more of these here. Species in terrific robes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So maybe like a cloaked Elcor.
Yeah. I'm thinking like really fancy Elcor, you know, like
how would an Elcor wear a robe?
It'd be a really big robe. It'd be kind of draped a lot.
Would it be a blanket?
It'd be like a muumuu. Yeah, it would just be a blanket.
With holes in the eyes.
Yeah. You know, like ghosts. It'd be like a ghost.
Elcor ghosts.
Yeah, it'd be like, it's not even a robe at that point.
Inspiring fear.
Boo. We are fancy ones today.
That's with pride.
With pride.
My exquisite regalia.
Yep. Any more? You got any more good ones?
You know, I have spectacles that tell you to respect me.
That's why I got glasses. These don't actually have prescriptions. They're just transparent. They just make glass. Me look smarter. Yeah, it's just glass. They just make me look smarter.
Okay. It's actually the Splendid Tic Tacs and Reese's program.
Back to Flavortown. We're just, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're bringing it full circle.
Yeah.
Back to Flavortown. No, it's Special Tactics and Reconnaissance. That's the real acronym / pseudonym / like phonetic acronym. Is that what you would call it? I have no idea.
I'm just going to say yes.
Sounds right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they specialize in clandestine operations, i.e. the dirty work that the council needs done and can't really declare a war over. So, which is interesting because, you know, they're a clandestine group who's designed to operate outside official channels. But like we've said, everyone seems to know when there's a Spectre around. They're not very subtle.
Yeah, no. No, it's kind of like when you watch a 007 movie, when you watch a James Bond movie, everybody knows he's freaking James Bond 007. Like he freaking announces it. I've never understood that from a young age where he's like, I'm James Bond. I'm James everywhere. James Bond. I'm James Bond 007. James Bond. He just goes around and tells everybody. It's like, how are you a secret agent when everyone just knows that you're freaking James Bond?
The name's Bond.
Yeah. Like it does.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
The social security number is 187. Mm-hmm. Like he just tells them they're like all of his personal identifying information.
Right. And even if he didn't, like they would just like bartender, be wary of anybody who comes to the bar and orders a martini shaken, not stirred. All right, boss, I'll keep an eye out for you. You know, like, cool. Now we got boss. If guy came up, he had a funny English accent, posh suit. Asked for a martini, shaken, not stirred. You think that's the man we're looking for? Did he pull out a silent pistol? Oh, yeah, boss. That's the man.
Take Did he out. Say his last name first? Because no one fucking does that.
No one does that except for secret agents. Oh, you're right, boss. Should I off him? Absolutely, but carefully. By the way, he's going to try to have sex with you. All right.
Wait until after the casino scene.
Wait until after he has sex with you, then murder him. Okay. But yeah, how does that even work? Like, I guess.
Well, it's interesting.
You're not a secret spy, but okay, go on.
Right. It's interesting you should bring up Bond because Bond is arguably more a part of a real organization than a Spectre is. Because there's not really an organization. They're like the Spectres aren't really an organization so much as they are like a group of individuals. They're like a loose group of the galaxy's most elite people. So and they're actually an homage to the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Mm.
That's not true. Don't believe that. I made that up. That's a joke. For everyone listening at home, please disregard that. But
they're going to tell their friends on the internet. Someone's going to post a Twitter post and say, little known fact, specters are. And then people are going to be like, oh, and then that's just going to get shared on the internet. And it's going to be like one of those things that everyone knows all of a sudden.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. It's going to become part of the Mass Effect zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Yep. I hope not.
Yeah. Like swimming after you eat a meal. You got to wait 30 minutes. That's not actually true, everybody. By the way, that's not actually true. I don't know who started that rumor. It's not a real thing.
Yeah, Tom here is an avid fan of downing a rack of ribs and then swimming a lap.
It's actually, like, it's not comfortable, but you're not going to drown. It's totally fine.
That is what they call an old wives' tale, right?
Yeah, so. Oh, totally. There's tons of that stuff. But this is going to become one of those.
Yeah. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Spectre connection, coined here first on the Mass Effect lore test. So, they are a group of extraordinary people. And they're a group of the best military and intelligence operatives in the galaxy. But they are not stars of a cheesy film with too many explosions. I'm kidding. That's the Expendables. I need to stop referencing action flicks.
That's Fast and Furious.
Yeah, that series has gone on arguably too long.
After the first one, it was too long. But anyway, moving on.
They're a group of elite military and intelligence community people with but they've been trained during the course of their career to fight and survive with limited resources and sometimes alone. So it sounds like a natural progression from the N7 program, right? That's what it sounded like to me anyway.
Yes.
And they rarely coordinate amongst each other. And it seems like one Spectre is assigned per mission. So Nihlus, that's part of why Nihlus is surprised to run into Saren while on assignment. The other reason is because Nihlus, I don't know if anyone knew this, but Nihlus is heralded as being one of the Spectres, like one of the most famous Spectres, one of the most respected Spectres. He's, you know, very highly looked up to. He's very highly decorated. Unlike Saren, unlike Bilo Gurgi, he does not have a sketchy, track record. He's very respectable. And so when he runs into Saren on Eden Prime, he's surprised to see him because normally there's only one Spectre. You know, the council assigned me to this. What the hell are you doing here? And then he lowers his guard, and then, you know, Saren's a dick and he just shoots him right in the back of the head. And it's so funny. This whole thing that happens with Saren and Nihlus. I was just talking to my girlfriend about this not long ago because she just started playing Mass Effect. And she thought, because at the very beginning, she thought that Nihlus was going to be like a major guy, a main character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense that you might think, he's a Spectre, right?
Right.
He sounds like he's going to be important.
We're led to believe that. And then, so she decided, like, she was having a pretty awful day and she wasn't feeling well. So she was just being super sassy to Nihlus and giving him all the renegade options. And fully expecting that at some point she could just, you know, level out and be nice to him. Then he dies on Eden Prime.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she was like, what?
Oh, no. I was a dick to him before he died. Oh, now I can't ever apologize.
No. Yeah, that opportunity's gone.
Life lesson, girlfriend. Don't be a dick to me because I might die. Next time she says something like kind of mean and kind of rude to you, you should just look at her like just blank in the face, just stone cold, and just go, you really want that to be the last thing you tell me before I die? And she's gonna go, shut up. And then she's gonna walk away. I could die like tonight.
Yeah, a train could hit our apartment just on the third floor.
Just come right through the apartment. You never know. You really want that to be the last thing that's it.
just guilt the hell out of her. Yeah, I know.
You really want that grumpy statement about handing you that fork to be the last thing that you tell me?
Look, yes, I did eat the rest of the cake, but, you know, I could die tomorrow, so there's that.
You really want that passive-aggressive comment about me working out more, promising to work out more and not working out today to be the last thing that you say to me?
Better yet, say that, but in posted form.
Just leave it on the fridge as a, like, you know, please note, the last thing you said to me was kind of passive-aggressive and rude. Please don't let that be the last thing you say before I die.
Oh my God, if someone said that to me, I would be like, what the hell?
Oh my God.
But anyway, about the specters and not my relationship, their missions seem to involve anything under the sun. Anything as long as you frame it under the guise of preserving galactic stability. But they are highly specialized in, supposedly, they're highly specialized in remaining under the radar and working outside official channels and employing guerrilla tactics.
Like military guerrillas, not like actual guerrillas.
Well, it depends on the specter, I suppose.
Yeah.
They are left up to their own devices individually.
I feel like
there's no rule book.
We've determined that the best way to manage this moving forward is to pound our chests and throw bananas.
Right, exactly. Like, there's absolutely no rule book for the Spectres. When they start, it's not like the council hands them a welcome packet. There's right. Nothing.
Yeah, that's just amazing. Like, yeah. You know,
here's the mission.
I feel like this is like at some level, I'm switching to like serious stuff here, but on some level, when you reach a certain level of competency at your job, you kind of hit this point where you get hired by companies because they just know that you're good at a thing. And then that's just kind of it. They're just like, yeah, here's the goal, but just go do it. Right. Like, you know, you've made it when they're like, yeah, this is the title we're going to give you. But really, here's the goal. And just whatever you need to do, just like obviously morally and like within, you know, financial bounds, reasons or whatever. But like, just go do this. Just go do it. You know, and that's kind of where they're at, is just like, yeah, we know you guys are capable and you've got our blessing. So just get the freaking job done.
We're not going to tell you what to do, or we're not going to tell you how to do it. We'll just tell you what needs to be done. And yeah, by the way, you're above the law, so do whatever the fuck you want. Bye. Yeah.
And we don't need to know the details. Like, don't tell us the details, because then we aren't responsible for the details. Like, when someone says, hey, did you tell those specters to kill X, Y, and Z or do this terrible thing? We have the ability to say, no, we didn't tell them to do that. Like, the government system itself can remain disconnected from that on some level, and then they can hang the specter out to dry if they really need to, if the specter goes too far off the rails.
Right. Plausible deniability. Right. It's everything. It's like the political opportunity to be like, hey, you know, this specter killed this many people on this mission. Oh my God, that's terrible.
Or did something even worse than that. Like, did you realize that this mission ended up with the death of like children, or you know, like a civilian, or like something terrible, you know, or whatever, or doomed this world to, you know, wow, terrible thing, you know, and then
Spectre sullied an Elcor temple.
Yeah.
And
now they all have to wear,
destroyed their totems.
Now they have to wear robes and they look like ghosts. So did you realize
they're even more depressed than they were now?
They talk even more slowly and nobody wants to talk to them at all because conversations just take forever.
Nicely done, Spectres.
So, yeah, I think that there's like a legitimate, plausible deniability side to that. But then there's also the sometimes it's just more important to get things done and we don't want to know the details. Just go freaking do it.
Right. Yeah, it's just it's easier if you're dealing with experts that way.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, like we said last week, the Spectres were a lot like the STG, but they aren't part of any military. And that may be partly because, you know, they may sound partly like the SDG because many of its first members were also chosen from the ranks of the SDG. But they also included Asari Huntresses, the very first members did. But no, they're really not part of any world's military program. They can simultaneously exist as part of a military program, i.e. Shepard. Mm-hmm. Shepard is a Spectre, but still part of the Alliance. Except in Mass Effect 2, it's like it's gray because Shepard died and then came back and is working with a well-known terrorist organization.
Right.
It's this whole big thing.
Yeah, that gets a little, that whole situation is pretty gray.
It's convoluted, certainly, and I can't even imagine what other like Alliance personnel would be thinking when Shepard came back. Like, what the hell? Like, not only is he alive, but like, I would honestly think like, is there a clone? Is this the clone of Shepard? This isn't Shepard, but but that's beside the point. That is what Kaden thinks on Horizon. But yeah, they're not really part of any world's military. They are a direct arm of the Citadel Council, and they've been criticized as being the council's attack dogs, which I can't really knock that criticism because, to be honest, the council seems to just like there's missions and then there's favors.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if the council really draws a hard line between the two and says like, and doesn't ask the Spectres for personal favors, because it seems like they blur the line there.
Almost like the mafia?
Yeah.
Kind of?
You know, it's kind of weird. It's almost like the only difference between organized crime and the government is legitimacy.
It's kind of like that. And depending on who the leadership is, more or less moral reasons for doing things.
This podcast sponsored by Rage Against the Machine. No, I'm kidding.
Bulls on parade. Yeah, that's my I'm gonna do full mouth versions of songs and just record all the parts using mouth sounds.
Staring directly into the camera.
Yes. Yeah. That's gonna be me. Would you guys watch that? Should I do that? Can I do that? Just like, would that be a thing? Never mind. Okay. So,
but yeah, they're above the law. That was the roundabout way of saying that. And the Spectres are allowed to use any means necessary they deem to complete their mission. So the motto for the Spectres is mission first, no matter the cost. You know, if the STG or the CIA, if CSEC is the nitty gritty police force from New York, the Spectres have historically used tactics much more fitting of something like the KGB.
Yeah.
Which is not what we thought we'd find ourselves in.
Yeah. And we've talked about this on previous episodes, this idea of like when the person on your side is like, I will do it no matter the cost. It sounds heroic. But when they're on the other side and they're like, I will do the thing, I will get it done no matter the cost, that sounds villainous.
I think the key difference there is, where's the sacrifice coming from? Is it self-sacrifice, or are you signing up others' lives to be sacrificed?
Right. Like, no matter the cost that comes to me, then yeah, that sounds heroic. Like, I will give anything personally in order to get this done. Okay, that sounds heroic. But like, I will get it done no matter the cost, meaning like, no amount of human life will keep me from getting this done. No amount of damage, no amount of, you know, like, nobody will stop me. Like, that sounds villainous. And
right,
this is kind of in that gray zone, because they have the ability to kind of make that call depending on what they need to get done.
Yeah, they have legal immunity. They're allowed to do whatever the fuck they want. I mean, like, I've dropped the F-bomb a couple times this episode, but there's a reason for that. And the reason is because the Spectres really, like, their authority supersedes everything. Mm-hmm. Like, and that would be personally intimidating, right? Like, everyone knows that you're a Spectre and everyone treats you with that level of reverence when you see them in the game, right? Unless you're dealing with a seriously bad dude. But the reason is, it's not just that they, like, have this ultimate respect for the Council. It's because imagine you meet someone who's one of the most well-trained military or intelligence operative people in the galaxy, and they could murder you for any reason and get away with it in plain, like, in front of everyone.
Right. And the council will back them up. Like, multiple nations from multiple races in the galaxy will have your have their back, and will say, like, they were there was a legitimate reason. They must have done it for some legitimate reason. They'll sweep it under the rug.
Yeah. So it's like, right this way, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's I mean, you would think more people would be nervous when the Spectres show up. And sometimes they are, but sometimes they're very just like, just kind of cool with it. Ah, so you're a Spectre.
Yeah, nonchalant. But starts to make sense why people on Novaria, like the business guys, were all like super like, what the fuck is a Spectre doing here?
Right. You know? Yeah, sometimes that does happen. But and it's the times it doesn't. Those are the times where I'm just like, do people not understand the gravity of this? Like, those are the times in the game where I'm a little bit more like, why isn't this hitting people's radar harder? And you know, that always seemed a little bit odd to me. I kind of expected there to be more gravitas to, you're Commander Shepard. You're a Spectre. Whatever you need, anything you need. Like, but like, people tend to give him a hard time. Like, how many times do they like open face lie to him, or like, you know, like misdirect him? Oh, well, you're just gonna have to go talk to so-and-so. I'm too busy right now. Like, that kind of crap. And it's like, this dude could blow your face off right now for no other reason than you just didn't give him the information he needed. You know, like.
Yeah, like, I don't think you understand who you're messing with. Like, I'm talking to you, Nissan of Dantius, in Mass Effect 1, trying to lie to Shepard to get Shepard to go kill your sister, who's involved in some really sketchy, you know, like illegal operations. Mm-hmm. And you're framing it like, you know, oh my gosh, my sister's been kidnapped by pirates.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these things, some of these missions play out more like a Star Trek episode than they do legitimately, like, this dude is a Spectre. Like, do you realize what that means? Kind of thing.
Also, probably don't ask him to go get your groceries.
Yeah.
But you know, that's a quest mechanic that's in so many different games. Like, you know, people ask the same thing of the Dovahkiin. So
it's true. Yeah. What I think will be interesting is when we get the TV show, if we get something with, and I keep using the word gravitas, but something with a little bit more gravitas, especially if we have Spectres in the show, which I'm assuming we will. I don't know that we're going to get Shepard's story. I hope we don't. And we can talk about this on a whole other, you know, as we get closer and closer to more details about this. But I would be surprised if we don't get Spectres showing up or information about them, or, you know, like, I would think that they would be like seen as these rare instances. And when they do show up, everybody's like on absolute high alert.
Oh, yeah. They command respect.
Absolutely. Like, this is like one of the most important things that happened, and it never happens. And think about all the planets, all the locations that they could go. There's only a handful of them. And when they just happen to come to our place on this planet has, you know, 40 billion people on it, you know, and it's one of like, you know, 50 billion planets in the galaxy. And they chose to come here because there's something going on here. Okay, everybody better be on their best behavior. And like, everyone's going to talk about this for the rest of their lives, that day the Spectre showed up.
So put it, I think we can put it this way to like illustrate the gravitas of it. I don't know about you all, but like, if I'm working in my office and then I see a bunch of cop cars outside, I'm like a little excited, like, oh, what's going on?
Right.
You know, right?
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of intrigue there. Now, if I see an FBI van pull up, I am way more interested, right? But that's just the FBI. That's not like the Spectres are so much higher and above the FBI and more elite than the FBI that if you saw a Spectre or you knew a Spectre was around your office conducting some operation, you'd be like, why the f- is a Spectre here?
Right. And if your office is the only office in the building, so you saw that car out front and you knew they were in the building somewhere, which is like your company you work for, or you saw them come through the front door, think about how much more heightened that would be. You know, like if the police show up at work and they come through the front door, everyone's like, oh, the police are here. And even if you didn't do it, you're just sitting at work, nothing, you didn't do anything. You know, nobody's in trouble, but everyone's just like, oh, the police are here. Something's going on. Everyone just all of a sudden starts being a little bit like, okay, on edge. What's going on? Word. You know, and like you said, if an FBI agent were to stop at the front door and show his badge and say, hey, I need to talk to the manager about something, like everyone would be like, whoa. And everyone would talk about the time the FBI agent showed up at work, right? This, like, a specter shows up and walks around your office. Like, that's a rare thing. That's like a president or a senator showing up and walking around your office. Everyone would be like, holy crap, why are they here? What is going on?
Yeah, you go home and tell your wife, I met a specter today.
Yeah, they'd be like, really? What was it like? Yeah, you know, like think about all the questions. You would tell everybody you knew. The next conversation you have with all of your friends the next time you saw them would be, guess who came to our office the other day? You know, even if nothing happened.
And right. I tried to talk to him and he just said I should go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He was a total dick and he had like this male shepherd voice. Well, tell you what, we need to take a break for the mid part of the show, and then we'll be back because we've got some more specific details to go into about the specters. So sounds like a good time. Ready to do that? All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. We've got a few things to hit, and we'll try to get through them real quick. This is the part where we get to thank our patrons, including our brand new patron, Gamer Whirl. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for signing up. And we're just going to say thank you to all of our patrons, including Pipe Man and Sovereign, who are our Shepherd tier patrons, and all 46 of our other patrons. Thank you to everybody for supporting the show. You guys help Sam and I do this every week and make it a regular commitment, something that we keep to and keep on putting out there. So thank you to everybody. And if we've helped you get through your workday, your commute to work, your workout, or taking your dog to the vet because they're getting old and they got these little bumps on them, and then you got to take them to the vet and the vet's like, oh, yeah, that one's got to come off. And you're like, ah, crap. And now it's going to cost you like almost $600 to take that. I mean, if you're listening to podcasts while doing that, it's kind of weird. But if you've done that recently, then go to patreon.com/massEffect. That sounded weird in my brain. Mass Effect Lorecast, and check out all the different tiers where you can join us for future episodes of the show or get T-shirts. Custom made special T-shirts that only go out to our patrons, or even the low tiers get things like ad free episodes and all sorts of other cool stuff. So go check that out. And we've got a new review that came in. Yes, that was very specific, Extreme Terror. But if that happened to you, then maybe it's your time to go check out the Patreon. See if you want to sign up. We have a brand new review that came in on Apple Podcasts from Spartan1521. In the United States, who wrote best Mass Effect podcast to date. 5 stars. I don't have people to geek out with me about Mass Effect. Dude, this is why I started podcasting. This is exactly the reason, is because all the people I work with and most of my close friends were just not into the games I was into. They go on and say, but hearing these two dive into the lore and history of the series gets me very excited, knowing there's people who love the series as much as I do. Comparisons are on point. The small tangents are either super funny. They think we're funny. That's awesome.
I'm kind of biased about that, but
yeah, that's great though. Cause sometimes we're really dumb, or related to the topic. And they try to look at topics through different lenses for better understanding. Their passion for the game and its history are unmatched. However, I think the friendship and casual flow of the conversation between Tom and Sam is a real charm of the show. Truly caring and kind people who care about this universe. I'm very thankful for this show, man. That's such a nice review. Thank you so much, Spartan. If you would like to leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, then we will read it out. All you have to do is leave a 5-star rating with some words. We'll read it out on a future episode of the show. Thank you again so much for everyone who takes the time to do that. And a reminder, you can't leave reviews yet with words, but on Spotify, you can leave us a 5-star rating. Just make sure you go to the show setting, not the individual episode setting, and scroll to the top. Look below the name of the show in the description. On top left, you'll see a little section where you can choose the number of stars. And that really does help because it helps make sure that Spotify knows that it's a good show. And then Spotify recommends it to other people who might be interested in listening to the show. So it really does help us get it out there. So thank you to everybody who takes the time to do that. We also have some news. This is pretty big news. If you heard the short run show we did, the Xbox Game Pass show, Sam and I were doing, we're fans of the Xbox Game Pass. I'm still a subscriber. I like to try out all the new games when they come out. And the Mass Effect games, 1, 2, and 3, and Andromeda, right? Has Andromeda been on there? I believe.
Andromeda has been on Game Pass for a while.
Yeah, are all on Game Pass, but now Legendary Edition is on Game Pass for Xbox and PC. So if you haven't, if you're one of the, I don't know, 10 people on the planet who haven't picked up Legendary Edition yet, and you decide to get Game Pass or you already have it, you can now play the Legendary Edition on Game Pass, which is freaking amazing because the upgrade is totally worth it. It's really, really cool. So that's awesome. Anything else we want to call out? Sam?
Well, yeah. I have my own announcement for the show here. And this goes out to everyone who's listening. We are looking for science-minded experts, people who work in the scientific community, to talk about things like astrophysics of Mass Effect. You know, the FTL, the mass relays, etc. All of these different really cool heavy science aspects of the science fiction genre that are in the game. We want to talk to people who might be able to comment on that. I want to be able to ask someone, how sound is the science behind these concepts from the game? Could these things ever happen? And I think that a lot of our listeners would be interested to hear from people who are highly educated in these fields to be able to comment on that and say, you know, this thing might be right around the corner. We are surprisingly close to unlocking the secrets of blank or something like that, or maybe not. Who knows? So if you work in that field or if you know someone who does, please send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Yes, please let us know and we'll reach out to them or, you know, stalk them in the night until they return our calls
and pester them.
But that's it for the mid break. And thank you again to all of our patrons. You guys are the best. We are going to move on with the rest of the show.
Spit it out. Or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
So one other thing that I just want to throw here in the middle. The Expanse, speaking about space stuff, ended this last weekend. The last episode of The Expanse, season 6, final episode, came out on Friday. And I've mentioned it on the show before. This is the best sci-fi show that has ever existed. It is freaking the best. And if you have not watched The Expanse, it's on Amazon right now. Go watch it. Go watch it now. It's freaking amazing. It is the best. Season 1 is probably the best. I have a hard time picking favorites, but it's probably my favorite TV show ever. I'm just going to leave that there. Maybe second favorite, but maybe favorite. It's really good.
You know, I've seen a number of people that are prominent in the Mass Effect community mm-hmm. have been saying this now on Twitter. You know, holy crap. The Expanse is the Mass Effect TV show.
It is phenomenal. And talking about like science and the physics of stuff and how things move in space and all of that stuff. And the idea of like what happens when human beings come across something that they don't understand, and what does that do to human society and our governments and all that stuff? Makes your head explode. If you're into that concept and that part of Mass Effect, go freaking watch The Expanse. I'm just like, you have to watch it. The first season is so good, the first and second season, and they don't hold your hand. They just show you stuff and you have to piece it together. And it takes a little while to get the pieces together in your brain, but eventually you will figure it out and you'll start to put the pieces together. Who is this? Who is this? What's going on here? Who are these people? Who are these people? And it will all start to make sense. And everything in space is about as physically and scientifically accurate as you can get. It is so freaking, I want to do an Expanse show, but now the show's done. But I just want to talk about the Expanse. Anyway, let's go talk about Spectres. Okay, so back to Spectres. So how many Spectres are there? What do we know about this?
Right. Well, we did say they are an elite group, so there's not that many. Most of their records, almost all of their records are sealed. So we really don't know, to be exact. The only entity that has access to the Spectres records are, of course, the Spectres themselves. But I don't think they can access other people's records and the Council. But the Alliance has estimates. Of course they do. I think every intelligence community probably has estimates on how powerful the Spectres are, really, because theoretically the Council could wield them against any one homeworld. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the Alliance estimates put it at fewer than 100. That's what Alliance intelligence suggests. So it's a very small group, less than 100 individuals in the Spectres, if the Alliance is correct. Very, very small group, very elite group. We're talking like, you know, this is only, you know, dozens more than what, the League of One?
Yeah, it's really not that much when you think about it. 100 people, I mean, you could fit them all in a small room.
Right, you could have a conference of Spectres.
Right. Yeah.
they might all know each other, but unfortunately for us, we don't know all of them. But we've met a few in the series, and even one retired Turian Spectre in Andromeda named Avitus Rix. And of course, we do know that almost all of the Spectres, and by the way, interesting that someone is a retired Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many Spectres you seen with gray hair, boy? Like probably not many.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. I can't imagine that the lifespan for these guys is particularly long with the kind of work they do.
No, the insurance policy has to be enormous.
Right.
I don't even know who would benefit from that insurance policy.
Like the close loved ones, maybe. You know, like
their parents. I feel like none of the Spectres have close loved ones.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the kind of work you get into because you don't have connections, like personal connections.
Right. I have nothing left to live for, so let's do this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But we do know that almost all the Spectres are chosen from Council member races. And I say almost because in Mass Effect 1, humans aren't yet part of the Council by the time that Shepard is selected. So it is almost exclusively from Council member races. Mm-hmm. In theory, the law allows Spectres to come from any race, but Spectres must be nominated to the Council by their species ambassador. And technically the Spectres are only chosen and selected by the Council. But as in Shepard's case, Shepard was like, you know, here he is. He was given to the Council by humanity's ambassador because humanity really wanted a Spectre or a human in the ranks of Spectreship. Right. And then they're evaluated for membership. So politically, that's not really how this plays out. About, you know, any race can have a Spectre. Politically, that's not how this plays out. In practice, most are Turian, Asari, and now a couple of humans. I say a couple, and I say now because I'm assuming that we are talking post Mass Effect 3. Mm-hmm. And in Mass Effect 3, depending on who you chose, the survivor, the Caden or Ashley, they become a Spectre in Mass Effect 3. But it depends on your choices, right? So now a couple of humans too. And maybe this is partly why we don't see any Elcor or Volus Spectres, because they don't have a seat at the Council. So who's gonna advocate for them to join the Spectres?
Yeah. Poor Elcor and Volus.
There is a fictional Elcor Spectre who is actually Blasto's partner. Boobin. I'm not even kidding. This sounds made up. I mean, it is made up. I mean, all of this is made up.
Well, yes, it is.
No, it's all fucking fiction, but this is fiction within fiction.
Fiction.
Fictionception. Try to say that five times fast. So Blasto, of course, the running gag from game to game in Mass Effect of being the zany multi-gun wielding, you know, Hanar Spectre. I'm sorry to say that that is fiction within the Mass Effect universe, and Blasto isn't really a Spectre. So we won't be talking too much about Blasto this episode. We will be covering running gags at some point, and I feel like that's going to be its own episode. But jokes aside, it could be that we don't see many Hanar, we don't see many Elcor or any Volus Spectres, because the Council chooses Spectres from militaries and law enforcement agencies, and some races depend upon others for those roles. So before we ever saw a Hanar Spectre, I think it would be far more likely that we could see a Drell Spectre. And that itself is going to be a rarity because there are so few Drell. And the Hanar, of course, outsource those kinds of up close and personal combat roles to the Drell, but there's a very limited number of them. So most Spectres seem to come from state militaries, but also from CSEC, which has a similar selection process. You know, acceptance into both is vulnerable to, I want to say corruption, but that's not the word. You know, the word that I'm looking for when I mean, when what happens is those in power end up appointing their friends or political allies, they're just doling out favors. I can't think of the word right now, but basically the acceptance into CSEC, the acceptance into the Spectres, it's vulnerable to both. Like both of them are vulnerable to that kind of corruption.
Right.
And that also means that
nepotism. Sort of
nepotism. Yeah. Thank you. I couldn't think of that word. But that also means that if you're on your own species' bad side, if you don't get along with your own species' current government, if your political beliefs are dissident with that, and you make that known, I doubt that you're going to get that kind of opportunity. You know, I doubt that you're going to ever see the Spectres. Garrus comes to mind.
Yeah.
Because he famously says he's not that good of a Turian because he wants to get the job done his way, which is ironic because that's what Spectres do.
Right. So they're chosen. They're kind of volunteered even by the governments or organizations they're part of. But once they're put in the program, is there like training for them? Like, how does that work?
You know, there's not. They are evaluated sometimes for years at a time before they're admitted into the Spectres, but there's no training. So the whole philosophy behind that, the whole philosophy behind the Spectre program is that they've already proven themselves. So their recognition is based on the history of their superior abilities, not their aptitude to learn more or do more. So it's almost like more... Like when I was reading this in the lore, it almost seemed like it was more of just an achievement than it was an actual job. But it's almost like you get to this level of achievement and then it's like, yay, you won the game. You can do whatever you want now.
Yeah. You get the merit badge. Good job, Boy Scout.
Exactly. Like you dodged the bullet, Neo. You're the one. The candidates for the Spectres typically have years and years of military or law enforcement experience before they're ever even thought of. And kind of the application process is not like applying to Wendy's. It involves background checks. It involves psych evals. It involves a long, long, long period of time of being evaluated in the field, which, by the way, Nihlus was supposed to be doing with Shepard. That's the whole reason why Nihlus was there. Mm-hmm. Nihlus was there to evaluate Shepard in the field and probably for a long time. I don't think Shepard was going to be admitted into the Spectres at any time soon. It was going to take a long time, which I wonder, actually, now that I say this, I wonder, do they speed up that process for Solarians? Because
lifespans, yeah.
Like 4 years to a Solarian is far more than 4 years to an Asari.
I would assume they would take things like that into consideration, because some of the races, I mean, we've talked about this before, some of the races even process information at different speeds because of the way their lifespans work, the way their minds work, things like that. So I would assume so.
Right. The Asari, are they like Asari huntresses? Are they evaluated in the field for 100 years?
Yeah. Well, maybe, I'm sure there's probably a limit to like the long lived ones, but especially the short lived ones, like I would think.
And combat roles.
Yeah.
Right. Like combat roles always have smaller life expectancies. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how they would kind of structure that. But regardless, it's a long period of time that they're evaluated for by an experienced or under an experienced mentor. And of course, that would be Nihilus. So that probably says something about what the council believed of Shepard's abilities, that they would send such a decorated specter to evaluate him. You typically don't send the best person in their job to go be a teacher.
Right, right.
Where I hate the phrase, those who can do, those who can't teach. I fucking hate that phrase. Uh-huh. But in practice, like when you're not a teacher, when that's literally not your job, if you're the best at what you do, chances are you're not going to be stuck training the new guy at work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're not going to take the best to go teach. But right. But they may take the best that are now on their way to retirement.
Yes, that's true. Who knows? Nihilus may have been on his way to retirement. He may have just been trying to coast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, there's a lot of people who move from, say, and this happens in science. So we're talking to my son about, like, you know, he's in middle school now, moving on to like trying to get into, you know, higher level programs through middle school and high school in order to get like college credit and those kinds of, just keeping his mind on this stuff, because he's starting to realize like, oh, when I do these like higher level classes, I'm actually in classes with better teachers and kids who actually want to be there to learn, and they're actually more fun, and like all of that stuff that kids don't readily understand until they experience it, because they think it's just like a harder class. So he's starting to pick up on that. But one of the concepts is that like you often get teachers who spend years in the field working, like, you know, in science or something, who now just want to teach because they don't want to do the thing anymore. It doesn't mean they're bad at the thing. In fact, they probably are awesome at the thing, but they just kind of just don't want to do the business corporate world thing anymore. And they'd rather just teach for a few years before they retire, you know? And you get people like that who are 100% capable. They're just kind of done with, you know, in this case, like a specter being the tip of the spear, you know, getting out there, putting themselves on the line. They're ready just to kind of step back, teach somebody else how to do that. And I could see that being a situation in this, but that's I could also see like, oh yeah, Jerry the Spectre just didn't turn out as good as we thought he would. Why don't we just have him teach? You know, like that could happen as well.
Yeah, that could totally happen. But you know, that's I've said it to, you know, my loved ones and my friends before, that that's what I want to do when I'm like retired. Like, I don't know if I want to ever retire per se until I'm very, very old. But I, you know, when I'm done with my career, I just want to teach. Mm-hmm. So,
I can see there's a lot of value in that and a lot of enjoyment for somebody who, you know, is still looking to be active and do things, but not necessarily do the same thing they used to do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, about the specters and not about our own careers and retirement. But you know, I also found this little tidbit is really interesting. So you remember how we said that there's no command structure. This isn't part of a military. There's no accountability to any military rank in and of itself within the Spectres. And in fact, it's shady even for a Shepherd. Well, funny enough, it seems that this also means that there's no paycheck. Mm-hmm. Spectres don't seem to get paid by the council for their work. Think about that.
It seems like there's got to be a way to thank them for their work, right? Like,
what the hell are they getting? Like, where are they getting the money?
Right. One, yeah, where do they get the money? Two, what, like, usually your paycheck is kind of your thanks for doing this, right? Like,
yeah, we hope you don't starve.
Yeah, like, not only do you need to survive, but also, like, or your bonuses, like, hey, killer job putting down that rebellion. Here's some more money, because what else are they going to give you? You know,
yeah,
a firmer handshake, like, what, you know, like,
here's another medal on your jacket.
Right. Like, what else?
No one will know about.
What else has value in those kinds of scenarios? Like, now I promise I'll be your best friend. You know, like, that only works on the playground when you're in kindergarten. Like,
Right. It doesn't really matter, because, like, the prestige that would come from being a Spectre, it's like no one knows what the hell you did because all your records are sealed. So right. You can't even brag about exposure.
Yeah, they can't even say, oh, now we're going to let everyone know what you did. So at least now you're famous. Like, they can't even do that.
Right. I don't think Saren was getting Nike deals. I don't think they can use their likeness for sponsorships. However, uh-huh. Shepard certainly does. And Shepard gives out his sponsorship left and right to stores on the Citadel and even this podcast.
That's true.
So
it's a brand new world out there with Shepard.
Yeah, Shepard doesn't give a shit. But, you know, so they don't get a paycheck, and the Spectres are expected to be financially independent. So they have to have a side gig.
Yeah. So how are they expected to have time to do this full time unless they're also funded by, like, their own government or something?
So that's what I'm thinking. So yeah. I'm thinking that their own governments are paying them because they're also acting as an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if you hear that in the background. I don't know what that is.
A dog or something, sounds like.
Yeah, someone's pounding against a wall next door or something. Oh, okay. I don't know. But yeah. But anyway, they're expected to be financially independent, and Morden even jokes about this, saying that when he was part of the STG, they, quote, didn't have to buy their own weapons.
Yeah.
So, this is just the creative way that they wrote into the game that the player having to pay for you and your squad's armor and weapons. They weren't just going to hand you everything, right?
Right. Well, so, we need some sort of economy system. We need something for the players to save up their money for to buy. Otherwise, it'll be really boring if we just give them all the equipment right off the bat. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I see a question in chat. Do they still get their military paychecks? For Shepard, this is true. We know this for Shepard because Shepard gets the Alliance paycheck in Mass Effect 3. However, Shepard doesn't get any paycheck in Mass Effect 1, and Shepard gets a Cerberus paycheck in Mass Effect 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dependent upon game mechanics. I guess that's the answer, but we don't know what the answer is for other Spectres. I'm guessing their own government compensates them, but the paycheck thing, it has interesting lore implications if we take it seriously, because it would also facilitate privately wealthy people becoming more likely. They're more likely to become Spectres.
Right. Right.
Because they can afford not getting a paycheck.
Right. Yeah. Because if you were to say, like, hey, we want to nominate you for Spectre, and you couldn't afford to do it, you'd have to turn it down.
Right. And there's actually only been two people in the thousands years of the Spectre ship that have ever turned it down. And that's because they turned it down to become Asari matriarchs. So interesting you bring that up. I just learned that today, actually. Yeah. Huh? And maybe this is another reason, you know, why we couldn't see a Quarian Spectre, because they're notoriously not loaded with cash, and they almost certainly could not spare their own ship, their own crew, their own armor, their own, you know, yada, yada, yada. They couldn't spare that because the Quarian military doesn't go on expeditions. You know, they have a scout flotilla, mm-hmm. But everything is designed to protect the fleet. So you don't have Quarian expeditionary forces that are going out into other parts of the galaxy to, like, you know, fight wars in the Terminus. It doesn't really happen. There's just not enough of them. But it also brings up a good point about the wealth gap being absent from most Mass Effect conversations. I brought this up in a previous episode with you about the Citadel and about the very poor people living in the depths of the Citadel and, and kind of like that we never get to see. But this brings up this aspect about the wealth gap being an absent topic, and yet it's prevalent.
So you and I have been kind of bantering a lot. We're kind of moving close to the end of the show, but I know we've got a few things still to cover here. But so I want to make sure we definitely hit these things. Specifically, what do we know about when the Spectres started? It had something to do with the Krogan Rebellion?
Yeah, that's right. They were the Spectres were founded in 693 of the current era, just as the Krogan were expanding and the rebellions were starting. And they intended to provide direct protection to the council. So this is kind of interesting. So, of course, they were founded to be like a clandestine monitoring body and remain in the shadows, that kind of thing. But I didn't know that they were intended to provide direct protection for the council, whereas the SCG are really only their mandate is only to the Salarians. So it makes sense why the council would found the Spectres, especially after getting attacked by the Krogan warlord in the council chambers. So it makes sense they found this body. They're like, we'd rather not die.
Yeah, it's almost like the Secret Service. Like the original founding of the Secret Service wasn't what it is now. It was more specifically, I don't know. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
But yeah, the Secret Service is now an intelligence body. Right. So I think that's a good parallel. And, you know, when the Krogan finally did rebel, the Spectres used guerrilla tactics, like I mentioned earlier, but they also used computer viruses and they sabotaged Krogan infrastructure to slow them down. And that's before the Turians even joined the conflict. So interesting thing to note there. That means that there were no Turians in the Spectres at that time. It was just Salarians and Asari Huntresses. And then the Turians joined the conflict. So they probably founded the Spectres and allowed them to get away with a lot out of necessity. They were desperate. They were losing this war, you know, and they were afraid of the Krogan. So they're like, do whatever you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it makes sense to me, you know, that they would relinquish that level of authority to a very select body of incredibly trained killers. Because they had no other choice. So I found that to be very interesting when I was researching this. It totally makes sense. It you know, I think any race that was put in the same predicament would probably create some type of black ops organization with just as much, you know, plausible deniability and seedy, you know, actions. And in fact, maybe that's why they chose Belo Gurji for the first one, because if we remember, Belo Gurji was accused of doing these horrible things to accomplish his mission. And instead of being punished, he was inducted as the first Spectre.
Right.
So he was rewarded almost. And in fact, it wasn't until after the Krogan rebellions that the public even began to know that the Spectres exist. Like, after the Krogan rebellions, that's when the council made their role public. So when we consider why are there no Krogan Spectres, this has got to be why. It was an arm of the council's defense formed specifically to combat the Krogan.
Right, right.
So the council would be too scared to confirm one. Yeah. And my question is, would the Krogan even want to?
Yeah, it doesn't. The two things are just in opposition right from the beginning.
Yeah, from the very beginning, I don't even know if the Krogan would want to join to become a Spectre, because it's a symbol of oppression for them at the very like most idealistic, it's a symbol of oppression.
Right. Or mistrust, or, you know, any of those things. I could see all of that being absolutely.
A Krogan joining that rank would definitely be shunned by their own community. So, and you know, earlier how we said they're above the law. Well, that doesn't just mean that they're incapable. That doesn't mean that they are incapable of being penalized, because that's not true. We know from the games that after Saren is finally exposed with Tali's help, the council strips him of his Spectre status, which effectively tells the rest of the galaxy's law enforcement agencies, hey, this is one bad hombre, and you should not just let him do whatever he wants, because he does not have the legal immunity anymore. He's just a murderer.
He's not a terrible dude. Don't trust this guy.
He's not a special murderer anymore.
Nope. His murdering is bad murder.
This is bad murder now. This is bad murder now. Ad quote. But we also know in Mass Effect 2 that this is not true, because the council gives Shepard a hard time and threatens to revoke Shepard's Spectre status forever, not just because Shepard was dead, but because Shepard is now working with Cerberus, like we said, a proven terror organization and human supremacy group. And I think that the council is already more primed to want to go to, you know, bat at Shepard for having worked with this human supremacist group, because they're already paranoid about human supremacy. And maybe with good reason. So it would make sense that this would be a sticking point for them. And it seems that Spectres are normally stripped of their perks and legal immunity once they are declared dead.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it would make sense. You're dead. So therefore, we don't expect you to be doing things anymore.
But do their records become available once they're dead? I bet they don't.
I bet they don't. I bet absolutely not, because they're going to keep all of that stuff buttoned up and kept away from the public.
Yeah.
So
yeah. They're not.
So what famous stuff have the Spectres actually done other than quelling rebellions? I mean, what other things do we know about?
So this is just it, really, you know, because their records are largely sealed and they're supposed to be these backroom problem solvers, as the Codex puts it. We really don't know much about most of their actions, you know, but we do know about Saren's shady past. I mean, past before even Mass Effect 1. We know about Saren's shady past because he was one of the subjects of the novel Mass Effect Revelation, which I'm not going to spoil too heavily until we get into episodes about him and Anderson specifically. We are eventually going to do those, you know, individual character episodes. But the long story short is that Saren was tasked with tracking down an illegal weapons exchange and he stumbles upon this conspiracy involving Anderson, Colley Sanders, and humans developing AI. And of course, we all know of the famous actions of one Spectre in particular, which is Commander Shepard.
Right.
I'm not about to list the entire plot of Mass Effect 1 through 3.
Right. Well, let's start
do that.
At the beginning.
Yeah, let me just back up a sec and run through all three games for you.
Right. This episode will be 120 hours long. Hold on. Here we go.
Buckle up, buckaroos. Yeah. If you want to do that, I suggest playing the games. So we don't know too much about the famous actions of the Spectres, aside from Commander Shepard, aside from one kind of not well-known incident with John Dumbau and the Hanar guy who was going to forsake his entire race in Mass Effect 3. I would not say that's famous. We don't know too much. They may indeed be behind some of the galaxy's most well-known events. You know, in fact, I'm pretty sure that they were involved in the Genophage deployment. It would make sense timeline-wise. It would make so much sense if they were.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a high likelihood that they will be a mainstay in any future games, in any future media that we brought up, like the TV shows moving forward. I would be surprised if there weren't Spectres. And I would not be surprised if the next player character is a Spectre. I think they're probably going to continue with that kind of thing. Like, every player character is a Spectre, because it doesn't limit anything. You can be a different race. You could be a human with any kind of background, but it's a framework. It's a lens through which to already perceive the game.
Right. Right. And it gives you almost an unspoken goal. You already have a mandate right from the beginning.
Yeah, preserve galactic stability at any cost.
At any cost. And that could be Renegade. It could be Paragon at any cost.
Right. It allows you to be good or bad.
But you at least have a goal. You know, that goal is set. The way you handle that goal, like we mentioned at the beginning, is up to you. And that's from the beginning what these games have been about, is your choice at how you handle that goal. It's not changing your goal never changes. It's how you manage that goal. And that's where the ethical developments come from. Yeah, that's interesting. So that's Spectres. It would be interesting to see where this goes. I'm excited to see both the television show, the next game, how they handle Spectres moving forward past Mass Effect 3 in the timeline. How does that affect things? I also think that it would be really cool to see some things kind of break new ground in the lore. You know, like, what if we do get a Krogan Spectre? What happens there? Like, there's always going to be a first time for things. And that's when things get exciting, you know, like the first Krogan Spectre, and he does get shunned and you have to deal with that, you know, or they have to deal with that and you meet them and they're a character in the game, you know, like that kind of stuff showing up in future games would be really cool.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the Spectres provide that structure that's necessary to be able to have a compelling plot. Of course, I think that the goal in Andromeda, the player's objective, was a little bit looser defined. And I think the game may have suffered for that reason. I know people would push back on me for that because they'd say, well, the Pathfinder is supposed to, you know, find a new home for humanity. Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean? You know, like,
what does that mean? And why is the game that's supposed to be all about exploration, why is it so clinically depressing?
Right. And why does it only feature so many worlds, you know, when you're supposed to be exploring? Like, there's limitations around that. So, well, thanks for everybody for tuning in on this episode. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And we've got some very special stuff coming up. In 2 weeks is our patron episode. So if you've been wanting to sign up to join us by the end of this month, you've got time to sign up before the 30th. And next week, Sam, what do we have? We have a very special episode.
Yes, we do. We have a very special episode coming, which you and I are going to interview two experts from our community on the music of Mass Effect. So we're going to be talking about the scores that made us cry, that made us, you know, just move. Like, I'm number one, of course, that comes to mind for a lot of people is leaving Earth in Mass Effect 3. You know, when you're leaving Earth and you see the child and all that jazz. Yeah, that's the number one that comes to mind. I got a lot of my own questions. I'm sure you get a lot of your own questions.
Yeah.
And these are two very, very smart people, very smart musicians from our own Lorecast community that I can't wait to pick their brain.
Yes. So stay tuned for that next week. We'll be, of course, streaming that live Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific on all of the different Robots Radio channels. I now multi-stream everywhere. So whether you want to watch on Twitch or YouTube or Facebook or Trollo, I think is the name of the other one. I even started using that because why not? But wherever you want to watch, you can watch it. And of course, if you can't catch it live, you can always listen on the audio version or check out the video version up on the Mass Effect Lorecast YouTube channel. It has its own YouTube channel now. And you know what, guys, I would love for you to go just drop us a sub on the Mass Effect Lorecast YouTube channel. Help us hit that 1,000 sub mark to help us get monetized and all that stuff, because YouTube's going to drop ads in no matter what. So it would be nice if they kicked us back some of the money for those ads, because
that would be pretty nice.
You can't like that announcement came out about a year ago. They're like, yeah, we're going to start running ads on everything, whether you're monetized or not. So it'd be like, well, all right, well, maybe they could actually let us have some of that money. So we would love to help getting up to that 1,000 sub mark. That would be amazing. So thank you again to everybody for tuning in, to all of our patrons. You guys have been awesome. Sam, you have anything you want to share before we head out?
You know, I've got a new camera set up, got a new ring light. I've yet again been working steadily on improving the quality of my streams. So, and I'm streaming Mass Effect, both Mass Effect 1, my first FemShep playthrough, and Mass Effect Andromeda, where I've created a complete abomination that is very, very, very tough to look at. Not sure if you've seen.
Yes.
So MILF Rider is a hell of a pathfinder and probably a fan favorite by now. But yeah, if you're interested in any of that, if you're interested in seeing me play, and occasionally I'll just play other games for fun and stream those too, like The Sims, making a complete disaster there. Follow me on Twitch at N7TheLegend. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, you name it, at N7TheLegend.
That's awesome. I have an old video on my YouTube. I think it's still in the archive somewhere. If you guys really want to go see something ridiculous about The Sims, where I created a character named Fatty McButterpants in the Sims, and he dresses up like Darth Vader. I think the video is still in there somewhere. If you dig around in the archives, you'll find some pretty terrible stuff in my old videos that are still sitting there on public. But yeah, if you want to go do that, you can go check out the Robots Radio YouTube, where I also stream, and of course the other platforms that I already mentioned. But that's what's going on. We've got the new updated website at robotsradio.net and a bunch of shows that you can check out. And yeah, just go check that stuff out. And you know what? I'm going to start calling out other shows at the end of each episode that you should pay attention to on the Robots Radio Network, including shows like, let's just pick one here. You guys into Destiny? Do you like Destiny? That's space stuff. Well, the Destiny show is part of the Robots Radio podcast network. And there's a big expansion coming out. The Witch Queen expansion coming out in February. I'm going to be jumping up back into Destiny 2. And we have a Destiny clan. I don't know if you guys knew this, on the Robots Radio Discord. So if you're into that stuff, go check out the Destiny show podcast and play some Destiny with us. But that's what we got for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week, and I will be streaming every day this week, either podcasts and on the nights that we don't have podcasts, playing some video games with the community, including Skyrim with my mom on Tuesday nights, which is absolutely hilarious because she makes all the decisions and reacts to everything, and it's hilarious. So thank you, everybody. We'll see you guys next time. Until next week, stay safe out there in the galaxy, and don't trust a shady specter just because they say they're a specter, because they might be doing bad murder. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.